1350 KMAN.
Good Monday morning. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Nick McNamara. I'll be with you for the whole hour. Coming up, we have a big show. C. Clyde Jones and College of Business Administration Dean Kevin Gwinner will be in studio to talk about the upcoming 7th annual C. Clyde Run, Fun Run, and Walk. I have a pre-recorded interview with Stephen Graham. He'll talk about the Global Food Systems Lecture going on at K-State today. But currently in studio with me, we have Dr. Bob Larson of KSU Vet Med. Dr. Bob, how are you doing?
Oh, doing very well this morning. Thank you.
Of course. This is our first time meeting, and I hope you don't mind if I called you Dr. Bob, or is it more of Dr. Larson, do you prefer?
Whatever you want to call me.
All right, then. Fantastic. And we're going to talk a little bit about winter prep for cattle, especially. We'll talk about a few things related to it as well, but I think we might as well just dive straight into it. What are some of the important things to keep in mind when winter's coming up, especially if you're rearing cattle?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things I think that are really critical. First of all, is nutrition. Even though this is a time of year, once those calves are weaned, that cow doesn't need as many calories as when she's suckling a calf. But at the same time, there's some challenges as well. We're in a time of the year where green growing grass is a lot more rare. And so a lot of times we're feeding stored hay or other crops, and that raises both some opportunities and some challenges. So,
oh yeah, and you also talked a little bit beforehand that there's always as the calves get older, especially going into winter, you might change food, and that could have some positive or results. You know, if you're not careful, it could have some negative effects on your cattle as well.
Yeah, I think one of the really good things about beef cattle, and one of the ways that they really fit into a lot of farming operations, is that the fact that they can eat a lot of different feeds. They're very adaptable, and that's a great advantage to cattle, and it allows us to use feeds that are available one year that may not be as available the next, and those includes cleaning up harvested crop fields. Hays from the local area, hay crops from the local area, as well as a little bit of a distance. We usually don't ship hay too far, as well as a lot of different byproduct feeds. And so cows can eat a lot of different things, and that is a huge advantage. The disadvantage is because a lot of times I'm basing that decision on what's available and what's the least cost. My diet might change greatly from one year to the next. And so what I'm feeding the cows will be different than what I'm used to. And so occasionally we run into problems where a feedstuff that's readily available this year that hasn't been for a few years or that type of a situation causes us to be feeding cattle feed that we just haven't had as much experience with.
And I asked you sort of right before we got started, does that just mean the cattle are picky? And I think I might have been approaching it from maybe a little bit of a uneducated point of view there. But what is the real issue with this food we might be unfamiliar with feeding cattle?
It's not so much that they're picky. They're really, they will eat almost anything that has halfway, palatable at all. But what's different is kind of the nutrient density. Sometimes 20 pounds of feed provides all the calories that they would need, all the protein they would need. Other times, because of the food itself, maybe we need 30, 35, 40 pounds of feed in order to meet their needs. And so we're talking about the density, the calories and protein per pound or per bite, you might even think, as well as the other thing that we run into, there's a lot of plants that have low levels of toxins that usually don't cause a problem, but can if the cattle are eating a lot of a particular plant. And so those are the types of things that as you move from one feedstuff to the next, sometimes there's some adaptation both for the animals as well as for the people feeding them.
And I imagine they don't necessarily have like a calorie counter like they do on human food and on the animal food.
No, they don't. And the other thing is that the feed can actually change over time, and as you might imagine. So cattle that are out on a cornfield that they're grazing the aftermath after they've harvested, well, the cattle are going to pick the best, the most nutrient dense feed first. And so the first few weeks they may be getting plenty of calories, but after they've kind of pulled the leaves off and any downed ears, now the food that's left out there is a lot less nutritious and they would have to eat more. And sometimes they're not physically able to eat more. And so then they start losing weight. So whereas before they were doing very well, now all of a sudden they're on the same, supposedly the same diet, but it has changed for them.
All with the same feed. There's that difference.
Yeah, because in that case, they are kind of picking and choosing what they get to eat. Now, when we deliver it in a baled form or silage or something like that, they don't get to have as much say into what they pick. But again, it can be very different than what the nutrient density of what they were eating previously. And so we, the people, have to make some adjustments.
And what are some of the ways that we kind of have to do those calculations? How do we determine what is the right amount of food and what
excellent.
Isn't?
Excellent question. Well, one of the things we talk about is getting some forage testing. So if you're using a dormant forage, so hay or silage or something like that, it's really we have laboratories where you can send analysis in, and that will give you the basics of the percent dry matter, how much moisture is in it, how many calories, how much protein. And that allows us then to mix that forage, that dormant forage, with something that's usually a little more calorie dense. You know, that might be a grain or a byproduct or something like that, to get the right mix. Because we certainly want them to provide, we want to provide the cows with all the protein and energy they need, but there's really no benefit and some detriment if we overdo it.
And we're talking a lot about feed, especially for cattle, changing in the winter time. But is there also other things that we might have to change going into wintertime, like maybe shelter or something along the lines of that?
Exactly. You know, the other thing that you have to really be prepared for as you move into the winter is getting them acclimated to the weather and then being prepared for bad weather situations. Again, cows are extremely adaptable. If you see them out the last couple of days, it's been raining and the cows are out grazing. They don't really mind that. But what they do mind, or what starts to be a problem, is severe wind and low temperatures, those types of things. So most weather, cows are very, very adaptable and able to handle very well. But particularly bad storms and things like that. So you think about a sudden snowstorm in the fall, and every once in a while we'll get a snowstorm that crops up before we're really prepared, and that can cause some where you're really worried about cattle either losing weight or even actually losing some cattle. And so being prepared for those unexpected weather events is really important. And by being prepared is basically some sort of shelter, ability to get someplace that's dry and away from the wind. And sometimes it's really as simple as a tree line, simple shelter. Basically, you're just trying to prevent them from getting too cold, too wet.
And I guess this talk of cattle, especially in the winter, also bears, maybe it's a repeat for me, but talking about weaning cattle as mm-hmm. well, I understand that some folks might wean their cattle a little too late into the winter.
Yeah, this is certainly the time of year when calves that were born in the spring, they've been on mom long enough, they can be weaned. And one of the advantages of weaning those calves a little bit earlier is, again, the longer they're out there nursing their mother, then the longer she's spending calories to take care of that calf. And so there's some real advantages to going ahead and weaning that calf, and then we the people can provide the diet that those calves need to grow and do well, and it allows then the cow just to be using the forage that's out there better. In other words, she can use it to put a little bit of extra fat back on her to get ready for the winter, and so that we can do that if she doesn't have that drain of providing milk for the calf.
And are there any important things to keep in mind when going about doing this weaning that people might not always just be aware of, and that might cause some issues if you're not careful?
Yeah, some of the things that we really recommend, both from a health standpoint and just to keep those calves growing well, is a good vaccination program. A lot of times people talk about preconditioning, which is basically thinking about the diseases that those calves might be exposed to, particularly right after they're weaned, and getting those calves weaned. The other thing is that a lot of people talk about is a low-stress weaning. And as we at K-State and other places have done some research in low-stress weaning, that can mean different things for different people and for different herds. But it basically means just trying to make the situation as positive for the calf as possible. So that means a lot of times people will talk about fence line weaning, where you're removing their direct contact with their mother, but they still have eye contact. Or a lot about the diet that they're being fed. Make sure that they're consuming a diet that they're somewhat used to, so you don't change it a lot. So thinking through all the ways you can make that weaning process, because what's the concern is when we're weaning a calf, we're doing a lot of things at once. We're changing that bond with their mother. You're removing the milk from the diet. Sometimes we're changing the forage type and other things. So you're changing a lot of things in a short period of time. So the concept behind low-stress weaning is to kind of spread those out and to give that calf a little more time to adapt, and so that it's not all a lot of changes at once. It's kind of managed so that they seem to come through it a little bit better if you kind of take the time to do that.
And are there any other sort of important tips for winter cattle health, I guess, that we haven't really touched on yet or that I haven't asked about?
Well, we've really touched on most of the most important ones. One of those is just the nutrition. It is easy to have cattle get thin if they're eating a feed stuff that's pretty low in energy and protein, and we don't adapt for that. There are some toxins that we worry about in some of the feeds that we use, so being aware of that. And then also just being prepared for that really bad weather, those really bad storms, and being ready so that the cattle can do what cows do, which is survive in an outdoor, tough environment. But they do need some help.
I think that's a good final word. Dr. Larson, thanks for coming out.
You betcha. Thank you.
All right. And I think it's time for our first break of the morning. Coming up next, I'll be playing an interview I had with Stephen Graham, retired from K-State. He'll be telling us about the Global Food Systems Lecture coming up today. Stay tuned for more In Focus here on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sleep Source, your appliance.